I strongly urge our nation's states and cities and counties to consider carefully the harm they are doing to their citizens by refusing to enforce our immigration laws and to rethink these policies. Failure to remedy violations could result in withholding grants, termination of grants, and disbarment or ineligibility for future grants.
Mm. Sounds like a lot of money there. Grants, grants, and grants.
Yes, that was Jeff Sessions at the White House today. The Attorney General saying that the Trump administration has just announced that they are going to, and he used this term, claw back grant money to cities and counties that are not living up to the current immigration rules and mandates and are declaring themselves sanctuary cities. Well, so we decided to go to the source here in the nice. County of Cook, at least. County Commissioner John Fritchie is joining us right now in the studio to discuss said clawbacks. Are you ready to get clawed, John?
I've had worse.
Yeah.
Clawback sounds pretty bad. I don't know.
How will this affect Cook County?
Well, Cook County has actually been a sanctuary county since 2007. We were one of the earlier counties in the country to have this. I'm not concerned right now about what they're going to try to do financially as much as the impact that it's going to have. You know, fundamentally, let's say that a lot of people don't understand what a sanctuary city or a sanctuary county is.
Right. They think it's just a bunch of loony people in the pea hats, you know, screaming that they want to help criminals.
Well, a lot of folks think that we give them blanket immunity and that you can't touch them. What we're saying is we are not going to look at immigration status as a primary cause either for an arrest or as an obstacle to getting access to city or county services, into schools, things along those lines. Here, without that type of protection, you have a lot of folks here that are afraid to report a crime in their community or to turn in a criminal because they don't want their status checked. Mm-hmm. So what we're saying is that will not be a primary cause for us to look into somebody's status. You know, if you get a DUI, let's say, we're not going to come in and check your immigration status as well. Now, if the feds want to come in and do that, they can go do that. It's a federal policy, but we're not going to do that work for them.
But you're also not going to report them to the federal authorities so that the ICE would potentially not know that they're in custody, potentially?
Well, ICE will know because let's say somebody gets pulled in for a moving violation and they get something that would get them arrested. And they get in, they get processed, they get fingerprinted. The fingerprints get sent into the FBI. And if it hits that the person is either wanted or an undocumented alien, then the feds would know and the feds can say, you know, give them to us. What they've done with Cook County is somebody's going to be about to be released from Cook County and they say, hold them for another 3 days for us and we'll come get them. Well, the courts have said you can't hold somebody longer than they're supposed to be held because you're violating their Fourth Amendment rights. And then Cook County is then subject to being sued. But the feds have known, we've got this person. And so we say, hey, if you want them, come get them during the time they're legally held. The feds either don't want to do it for financial reasons, because then they have the burden. Now they have to house that person. They have to start proceedings. Mm-hmm. But they know. If we have them, they know. And we say, if you want them, come get them. But we're not going to come and hold them and ship them out to you.
Yeah, it becomes a jurisdictional issue.
Well, it's
a hassle issue, right? I hate to say it like that, but it does appear to be what the issue is. Because I've heard this before. I've been told by countless people over the years in law enforcement here that they're not like it. Well, you get arrested in Chicago, whether it's by county or city cops, right? You get arrested, mm-hmm. You go into the county system. You go over to county jail, you see our friend Tom Dart, who's, you know, standing there.
Lovely guy.
Right, who is like, hey, you want to escape? Go ahead, try. I don't know. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. He gets a runner every once in a while. But I'm told by people over there that they absolutely do. They've cooperated with ICE on this all the time.
We will cooperate with ICE, but we are not going to be their front line of offense, not even defense.
But Chicago coppers do not want to have to take somebody into – one of the issues here, too, is on a traffic stop. Okay, let's say a guy runs a red light. Pull him over. And they go up, and the guy's got a driver's license, because you can get a driver's license. You don't have to be legal, you know, which is part of the issue here, too. The idea was if you make these people partially responsible to – civil society, even if they're here illegally, because it's just you're not going to be able to scoop them all up. Why not, on the margins?
Right. They're living in the shadows, ultimately.
Yeah, let them live, so they get a driver's license. So they, on every driver's license, are they going to find on a red light? Are you going to deport somebody on a red light? What is the cost of that? And to your point, and I hear this over and over and over again from police who, listen, police don't like criminals. Especially in this town. Have you noticed? There's a lot of stuff about that. We spend millions of dollars based on how little the Chicago police like criminals. Mm-hmm. But the issue is that they also know that they need to be able to go into the community and have community relations and be able to stop and, go up to a guy and go, hey, you need to help us with this, without that person fearing that they're going to get deported.
That's right. And again, whether it is them reporting other criminal activity in their community, whether it's them having access to health services at a Stroger Hospital, which in the long run is better for everybody, them sending their kids to school and enrolling their kids in school. None of these things would happen if they're worried that anything that flags them as existing is going to subject them to being deported. But again, I have to emphasize.
Well, what about the people who stop and say, well, these people shouldn't be here in the first place, so we want to make life as hard as possible? I mean, I think that's kind of the other side of this coin, right, of this argument. We want to make life as hard as possible for them so that they will self-deport.
Well, I think the self-deportation argument is somewhat wishful thinking on the folks that are against this policies that we have in place right now. The fact of the matter is, the feds have a policy. If they want to come in and enforce their laws, they can come in and do that. But for Attorney General Sessions to say, if you don't do our work for us, we're going to start cutting funding from you to the tune of tens of millions of dollars at the city level, even more at the county level, I think it's going to send things backwards, and you're going to have more undocumented aliens that are going to go back under the radar screen, which is actually going to make it tougher for the feds to do their job. And again, these are people that are trying to be a part of society. They want to have a valid driver's license. They want to pay taxes. They want to take advantage. I shouldn't say take advantage. They want to avail themselves of the opportunities and responsibilities.
Take advantage is fine, because I think everybody does, right? I mean, that's why they came here in the first place. Is they basically snuck into the country or overstayed. There was the story that the Tribune did about this, that the Washington Post picked up on this couple in South Bend, Indiana, where they were big Trump supporters.
Well, the wife was.
The wife was, right. The wife was a gigantic Trump supporter. She went to rallies because she believes that, he's what he stands for is the truth, and what he stands for is, is good. And she's married to a guy who overstayed his visa when he was 18 years old, and now he owns a restaurant, lives here, he's married to her.
Three kids,
and they just picked him up and they're tossing him. He went in. There was a program by which people who had overstayed their visas could go in to ICE facilities and just check in, almost like a parole officer. Check in. What are you doing? And then if you weren't involved in a crime or something else, and you went to the back of the line in terms of deportation, essentially. Well, this guy shows up for it, and they just arrest him. He had not committed a crime other than overstaying his visa, and now he's in a detention center, and they don't know when he's going to get – but he's going to get tossed out. They don't know when he's going to get tossed out.
And he's going to get tossed out for trying to comply with the laws. And I'd lump her in with the category of Trump voters who said, well, I never thought he'd do all the things he said he was going to do, and now that he's doing them – they're up in arms.
Yeah.
But take it to the other extreme, because the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, is saying this is really a safety issue. That's how they're framing it. And I'm not sure I believe really that that's entirely true. It isn't all about safety, because as we just described, there are people like that gentleman who are here illegally and he's going back, but he's not a security risk. But then what happens to the people in our system who did commit a murder, did commit a rape? Is there a higher level of cooperation with the feds with those particular individuals? Is there anything different in the way that's handled?
No, there is a higher level of cooperation. And if they've been convicted, then there's going to be a notification saying, what can we do? Because these aren't the folks that we want here. These are the quote unquote bad hombres. And so then we'll try to deal with them. But I'll tell you right now, when you look at criminal activity, I'm much more concerned about the Chicago resident who's here legally, who was born here, who's been in and out of the judicial system half a dozen times for weapons violations, who's been out on a technicality on an attempt murder charge or whatever it may be. This is somebody that's back there terrorizing their neighborhood. I'm much more concerned about him than I am about the restaurant owner who overstayed his paperwork.
Yeah, no question about that. And today, Jeff Sessions, you know, they bring up, to Anna's point, they bring up the Steinle case, which would, you know, become a rallying cry for them, which is an egregious mistake by San Francisco authorities in terms of, you know, how they dealt with this guy who'd snuck into the country five separate times, committed a number of crimes while he was here, and they seem to not be able to track him. Well, yeah, that's an awful, awful, awful case. But I think, John, to your point, in Chicago, we see this a little differently because we look at guys who, you know, born and raised here who are, you know, if they get caught with a gun because of the way that the gun laws are administered here in Chicago and in Cook County, you know, they're back out on the street very, 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 very quickly. And then in order to actually connect a gun to a crime takes months and months and months in many cases because they do not have a computerized system. It's against the law to have a computerized system that connects firearm forensics with owners because the NRA doesn't want it that way. And because they think that that's somehow it's going to be some sort of a way that the Second Amendment is infringed upon. And those are things that I think are common sense solutions. And listen, I'm all over gun ownership. I'm all for it. I'm all for the idea of, you know, being able to have a gun and even now concealed carry, which I initially was against. Now I'm for. Fine. That's fine. But in the meantime, somebody shoots somebody with a gun illegally and you can't track that gun because the NRA is worried that I'm going to get caught up in that. I'm not worried.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. You know, they want to go after the criminals who are politically advantageous to go after.
Right. These guys can't vote.
Well, that's exactly it. And, you know, you don't have a lot of people coming to their defense. Now, we have more recently. But, you know, in the past, we've had people that just, you know, said, hey, they are a voiceless minority.
Yeah.
And now people are saying, hey, you know what, there's a lot more at stake here. You know, what are we about? Are we a welcoming city? And you look at Chicago's ordinance, it's a welcoming city ordinance. It's not a sanctuary city ordinance, sanctuary county ordinance.
Hey, we're welcoming. I see it at the airport. Rahm Emanuel welcomes me every time I come back. He won't take my phone calls, but he welcomes me every time I come back. All right, John, thank you very much. County Commissioner John Fritchie has been with us.
John.
Appreciate it,
Thank you both.
And right now, Violetta Paramedics got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.